The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game here on VSiN. Kelly Bidlin's here as well. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, how you doing?
I am good. I'm here. I'm in one piece.
Looking forward to seeing the new Ant-Man movie, I heard.
Oh, well, hey, look, at some point I'll see
Jeff's got big plans there.
At some point. This weekend, maybe not next weekend, because the new, as was revealed yesterday, the new schedule.
Bum, bum, bum.
So my shift, I got the late night shift on Friday and Saturday night. So
yeah, did we get the show name, Parles in Charge?
No, we did not.
I tried to sell it to all
the managers. I would have loved it too. You know what, maybe I'll just do a segment in there and it's Parles and Charge.
There you go.
I think they'll do that.
There you're thinking.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Saturday and Sunday bed prep for me, the whole new schedule. And it's just a few changes here and there. VSiN.com, where you can find them. Our guy Matt Brown and Dave Ross. And Patrick Maher and Amal Shah, those two shows. The Handle on Saturday morning with Matt Brown and Dave Ross, one of two new shows on the program. And that's Sharp Bets with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah. Correct, Kelly?
Yes.
Yes, there we go. See, it's a new schedule. I barely know the
names.
Nailed
it!
I barely know the names of these shows currently. So it's pretty good that I actually got the new show's names there. We got a good one for you, as always. A pretty regular guest today. Our guy Drew Dinsick with us in 15 minutes. NBA, NFL offseason. We'll ask Drew what he's been drinking during the offseason. It feels like Drew posts like some amazing picture of a beach or an amazing sunset every other week.
Yeah, kind of
during the offseason. A little bit jealous, I'm not gonna lie, Kelly.
Yeah.
But we'll talk.
We've had him on this show where he's been live on his phone out at the dock. You know,
I know.
Santa Monica or whatever, or in the Sierra Mountains. Like I've taken more ridiculous shots with Drew Dinsick. We'll see where he's at today.
Our guy Will Hill at the top of the next hour, and then Sia Najad. We'll check in with him. Sia got a golf win last week, right, Kelly? He had John Rahm, right?
I don't know that he did.
Someone had. Hey, you had John Rahm in play, at least.
I had John Rahm in play, yeah. I had John Rahm in play.
There we go. So we'll see you at 11:30 Eastern time, 8:30 Pacific, right here on a numbers game. Kelly, let's get into what we saw last night. Before we get to college hoops, Nate McMillan got fired from the Hawks yesterday. You know, Kelly, I just want to ask you this real quick, because you know better than I do. Because Lloyd Pierce was fired midseason, and then Nate McMillan takes over, and then the Hawks make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
Then last year, they're as average can be. They win the 9-10 play-in game. They win the 8-seed play-in game. They get the 8-seed. They get drubbed in the first round. They're heading for exactly that same pattern again this year, where they're probably, instead of playing in the 9-10 game, will play in the 7-8 game, probably lose the 7-8 game to Miami or the Knicks, and then probably win an 8-seed game against Washington, Toronto, or Chicago, whoever that may be whenever that is set up. Atlanta, by the way, right now, -155 to make the postseason at DraftKings. Kelly, I'll just ask you this. This was an offseason where the move from Murray was ballyhooed as an amazing move, and correctly so. Why has it not worked for Atlanta? Why is this team with an elite guard who, yes, has not been as good this year as he's been in the past in Trae Young, a whole collection of big guys who on paper should be good, why doesn't this team mesh? Because this is 2 years running now.
Yeah, look, I mean, they're gambling. They gambled a bit bringing in DeJounte Murray, got rid of Kevin Huerter, one of the up-and-coming better three-point shooters in the league. They've struggled a bit from deep. Look, but they had to wait at the beginning of the season for Bogdan Bogdanovic to get healthy. He is healthy now, back in that lineup, playing good basketball. A.J. Griffin coming on strong, rookie out of Duke. Sadiq Bey, they just got at the trade deadline. Look, there's a lot. Like you're kind of hinting at, Jeff, this is a team with too much talent to have all these excuses that they've had. I'll be perfectly blunt, though, with this. We heard about this Trae Young, Nate McMillan stuff 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I was wondering why he wasn't fired then. And you can sit at home and say, I'm cold, I'm callous, and we shouldn't let the players run the NBA. Wake up, they already do. They already do. LeBron's his own GM out in L.A. Trae Young is way too valuable of a piece. If it's not working, you need to – it's what I always say about quarterbacks. If it's not working, you need to cut the guy loose and move on. I have no problem with anybody doing that. If the Bears don't think Justin Fields is going to work out, cut him loose and move on. You can't go through years of wasting talent and time, and that's what they're doing in Atlanta. They should have gotten rid of McMillan 2 months ago. If Trae Young's button heads with the guy, which all the reports were he has been all season long, especially at the beginning of the season, how much can you blame the problems of this team on that? I don't know, Jeff, but I would assume you can some. So I think they're looking at bringing Quinn Snyder in. I think that would be great. I think you're going to see a rejuvenated Atlanta Hawks team here down the stretch.
Why would Quinn want this job? Do you think the ceiling still is high enough?
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
You have one of the best. In my opinion, you still have one of the best backcourts in the NBA. You just need to learn. You need to figure
when
out.
When they're right, absolutely.
You need talent-wise, to figure out how no this argument. Works, though. Nobody's figured out how it's going to work yet.
Yeah. Again, I'm Quinn Snyder. I think I'm just waiting until next season and then figuring out what the best job on the market is. Just remember, if the Philadelphia 76ers have another playoff flameout, Kelly, there's no way they can bring Doc back.
Yeah,
again.
I'm with you.
They can't bring him back. If they bounce in the second round, and look, they probably will be an underdog in the second round against Milwaukee or Boston. Not probably, they would be an underdog in either of those series. But if you don't get past the second round, again, I don't know how Philadelphia brings Doc back. And then if I'm Quinn Snyder, I'm waiting for that gig because that is the better job than Atlanta to me.
I wanted to pull this up real quick.
Please.
Jeff. We haven't seen a lot of this year, but the best defensive rating by a five-man lineup this season is Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Clint Capela. Because of injuries and stuff, we haven't seen that a lot. But that's where I think you can find some hope in this team still. And I think there's things like that where I still believe it. I still believe they have a very good chance to win this division. I think they have a very good chance. I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs. This is a team that has way too much talent for you to want to face them in the playoffs.
I think Boston would smash him. I really do. I think Boston would smash him. Milwaukee may mess around and take that in that series goes six.
Yeah, I mean, I think Boston, Milwaukee smash
him. But I think Boston would smash him in a first-round series. Two college hoops. Kelly, the favorite think tank and trend of betting Twitter went 1-1 in college hoops last night.
Wait, can I just tell you that,
please,
that you made that Miami bet yesterday?
Yes.
And that's what you're talking about. That's one of them you're talking about. Miami beating Virginia Tech 76-70. I heard so many people on Virginia. It was Jeff Parles against the world yesterday.
It was only me yesterday on Miami. And one guy, someone who tweeted at me who said, kudos to you for going against the trend. I forget who it was on Twitter, so I apologize. I'll have to check that during the break and give credit where credit is due there. But look, for the two that were in the scenario where it's, again, the home unranked favorite against a ranked team, which has been great this year, great trend. And Kelly, the entire world was on Vontech yesterday.
Yep.
Everybody except for me. And I at least got that one right. Miami wins 76-70. Those guards are so good. And I know that, look, the metrics defensively stink for the Canes. Kelly, Miami is capable of beating anyone. The one problem with it is they are capable of losing to anyone because of how horrible their defense is. So they're one of those teams who I think they have a Final Four ceiling. They were in the Elite Eight last year, and they weren't even any good. They're much better this year. And with the right draw, you get in the right region, you get the 5 seed with Purdue as the 1, you can very easily get back to the Elite Eight, maybe even the Final Four of the bottom half of whatever that bracket is, happens to be weak for Miami. And then the other one, Michigan State, slow start, but a really, really great performance in the last 25 or so minutes last night for Michigan State, really running Indiana out of the building in the second half, 80-65, in an emotional day a week after the shooting on the East Lansing campus in Michigan for Michigan State. A really good win for Izzo's squad as they were already safely in the NCAA tournament, but a nice resume patter for Michigan State as they try to climb the ranks over the last 2.5 weeks of the season before Selection Sunday. So a really nice win there. I got Xavier wrong. I can tell you that, Kelly. They were covering at halftime, but Villanova found a way in the second half. Really good win for Kyle Neptune and company to go to the Cintas Center and upset Xavier as a 4.5-point underdog at close, 64-63. Really, again, Xavier does miss Fremantle. There's no arguing that, and they missed him last night. And again, good win for Villanova. Still not. They still need to win at MSG in the Big East tournament in order to get into the big dance yet again. And then the other two games I want to bring up real quick. Texas A&M beats Tennessee. Texas A&M is going to the tournament. And I think at this point with Tennessee, if you're – this is the market low on them right now. So if you are a believer
– okay.
If you are a believer, this is probably going to be the time to buy stock. But I don't know how you can watch them the last 10 games they played and want anything to do with them. Because, Kelly, you want fun with numbers real quick? I know you're a big fan.
It's a numbers game.
Yeah, I know you're a fun with numbers guy. Tennessee has given up 60 or more points in 11 games, which is very impressive, Kelly. But you know what their record is when the opponent scores 60 this year?
What?
3-8.
Are you serious?
3-8 when the opponent scores 60.
How's that possible?
You cannot expect this team to beat anyone with an offensive pulse in the NCAA tournament with those type of numbers. And they're 3-7 in the last 10, too. They're just not playing well. It is the market low, but I don't know why you'd want to buy in on Tennessee. And then
22-1 to win it all.
Yeah, I don't think that's good enough, but that probably is going to be the market low at this point. And then Kansas State beat Baylor for a second time. Jerome Tang obviously owns owns the guy who groomed him, and Scott Drew. I love that K-State team. I really do. I really hope they make a big run. I love Keontae Johnson. I love Noel. That team is really fun. I just don't know if they're deep enough. But Baylor's got some problems as well. 10-point win for K-State. Hey, our guy Drew Dinsick. We're going to talk NBA with Drew next on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, the BetMGM Sports app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and plenty more. Download the BetMGM app today and visit any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets. From anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. So visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. As we learned yesterday, by the way, Kelly Bidlin, very bad at geography.
Yeah, I just missed a number.
Hey.
It was 440 instead of 40.
You're only 10 times wrong off of what you said, where you're like, oh, Tuscaloosa's only 42 miles.
Like we all haven't accidentally ended an extra zero when making a bet before on an app.
Look, there's nothing wrong than the fat finger on a bet, and then all of a sudden your bet that was, oh, it was a nice $110 bet to win 100. Oh, what did I do? Whoops. All right, I guess we're rooting for Kansas State a little bit harder than I realized.
That's right. You're all of a sudden up to a dime now. Easy.
Yeah. So that's always fun. Hey, look at that. It happens to everybody every once in a while. And hopefully you win it. And if you don't, you don't feel good after that one, Kelly. That's all I'll say. With us right now, of course, our guy Drew Dinsick. You see him on NBC Sports Edge, Deep Dive Podcast. You also see him every Wednesday here on A Numbers Game. Drew, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm weathering the interminable All-Star break as best I can here. I caught myself kind of looking at scores and watching college basketball last night, and it was a disaster. So NBA can't get back here soon enough. Most of my attention in the handicapping space now has been some of these smaller tournaments and tennis. There's a lot going on in the world of tennis right now. We're all over the world. And then handicapping a little golf, desperately need the NBA to come back.
Well, you didn't enjoy the likes of Youngstown State and Robert Morris yesterday, Drew?
Hey, Bobby Moe was a heck of a play yesterday.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if you caught that. That was one-way traffic. The Penguins had nothing for Bobby Moe.
And Bobby Moe with 51 second-half points en route to a 19-point beatdown as a 4.5-point underdog in that one yesterday. See, hey, Drew, you're on top of it. You pick any game, it would have been a good response like that. So, Drew, we'll talk a little NBA here. Obviously, we don't have any games yet today, but as we get into the final 2 months of the season,
sure.
Just by a game by game basis, before we go macro here, is there any change in the handicapping now that we're down the stretch and we have playoff positions to be fighting for?
I would say yes, for sure. I mean, the final third of the season is usually made up of, you know, pretty suspect motivations on the parts of the teams that are out of the mix. And I would expect this year is probably that's going to be peaked. I can definitely remember in years past where we had some bona fide number one choices. The Zion years kind of stands up out in my mind, where teams just really kind of drastically tanked it into the close. And obviously you have a generational prospect coming out in this year's draft too, if you want to count Scoot, but it's going to be a race to the bottom for a lot of these teams that aren't really in the mix for a play-in spot. And so you're going to have to take that pretty seriously. I think, if you're coming up with a numbers-based handicap in particular, and you're going with the strength of available players, that's very, very tough to capture motivation because it's so subjective. So that's really what you're looking out for. And so that's going to open up some in-game opportunities to bombs away fade on some teams that are playing competitive basketball through two and three quarters who ultimately intend to lose. And then vice versa, if you have a team that is in a quote-unquote must-win spot against a team that's kind of middling or, you know, not really playing for much, then their effort could tick up pretty appreciably in the later stages of games. So, you know, I think that's sort of the key focus. And I will say overall this year in the NBA has been a little strange. It's been tough to find ways to win consistently this year. I don't exactly have answers to what's going on because, I'll be completely frank, like in years where the NFL is going very, very well and my kind of basic kind of first line NBA handicap is not producing winning results, I tend to tune the NBA out through the end of the NFL season and just kind of stick to what's working. And that's basically what happened to me in this season. So I was not kind of grinding away, trying to find, small edges, trying to fix what was going on with my model in the NBA for the balance of the season, just because I was like, we'll deal with it when the NFL's is all done. But now, there's really not enough time to get regular season, to find regular season success. So I'm mostly just kind of looking specifically at teams that I think have a realistic shot to make a run in the playoffs, trying to figure out what they are doing with their kind of rotations, who they are zeroing in on as their playoff guys, and, how the chemistry of those units is really coming together. Because, it's going to be a really competitive playoffs this year. Before the trade deadline, I would have said this is going to be a snooze fest. The Western Conference is boring. And now that is entirely flipped on its head with Brooklyn shipping, Kyrie to Dallas and Kevin Durant to Phoenix. You now have the potential for that to be a first round series. And I mean, I think we all want to see Dallas and Phoenix play at some point in these playoffs. That would be the most entertaining handicap, and just that would fill hours and hours of content. It would be so freaking good. So I think, realistically, that matchup is entertaining. The idea of Kevin Durant getting to go up against Golden State potentially at some point is exciting. Denver Golden State is a first round matchup. If that manifests, would be unbelievably cool. And then beyond that, Memphis, I still believe in Memphis taking a step forward and making it to a conference finals or further this year. So, what was going to be a little bit of a snooze fest in the West has turned into maybe the most entertaining, kind of overall playoff handicap you could have imagined.
Could you imagine, Drew, if you're Denver, you finally have this regular season where, Drew, to me, the Nuggets have been the best team in the NBA so far this year. And then, all right, you get the one seed in the West, grade, and then your reward is, you get Golden State with a healthy Steph, or you get New Orleans with a healthy Zion back. And then, all right, you win that series. And then, all right, your reward is either Dallas, the Clippers, or the Suns. That sounds like a lot of fun if you're Denver.
Yeah, that was Phoenix's story last year.
Yeah.
Phoenix fired all their bullets in the regular season last year to get that one seed, to get that home court advantage. And they drew a white hot Pelicans team that realistically could have beaten them in the 8-1. And then, of course, the Mavericks, who did beat them in the second round of the playoffs. And I think, you know, it just goes to show you that, the parity that exists at the top of each conference right now, particularly in the West, is so, it's leveling. And, you know, the Nuggets, I think, are the beneficiaries of a lot of small factors that make them an unbelievably good regular season team. But I have huge questions about them being able to succeed in the playoffs. You take away a little bit of the home court advantage because teams now are on equal rest and you get a little acclimatization to the altitude. So, the 2-3 point bump you would get from, hosting teams in Denver all of a sudden is gone. And then, on top of that, Denver is kind of, just in general, scheme to be offense first. And you get into, a little bit more meaningful rotation, effort level is up on defense for, some of the key units out there. And, the Nuggets are going to be tough to match that. They just aren't very well rostered to be kind of a defensive juggernaut. I mean, for all of the good we can say about Nikola Jokic and his ability to create offense in unique ways, well, there's a bunch of teams in the West that can create offense in unique ways at a team level. They're going to be able to go score for score with you. And if you can't come up with key stops late in games because your only plus defender is Aaron Gordon, then you got a problem. And I think realistically, a team like the Suns matches up extremely well with the Nuggets. I think the Grizzlies match up well with the Nuggets. And you mentioned it, the Warriors match up well with the Nuggets. I don't know what kind of price you would see for that series, but I doubt the Nuggets would be over minus 300. I mean, that's going to be a relatively tight series. If you get a decent plus money bet to make on the Warriors, I'm going to think hard about it, because as poor as the Warriors have been this season, when they've had their full, their starting five available, and kind of playing meaningful minutes, that unit is crushing. And it's going to be tough to look past the Warriors potentially ousting the Nuggets in round one. So, yeah, I mean, the Nuggets are going to have three very, very tough tests on their hands just to get to the finals. And at that point, presumably face the likes of the Celtics or Bucks or even maybe the Sixers. And at that point, I think they're pretty meaningful dogs.
Yeah, I think they match up terribly with Milwaukee to begin with. Boston obviously played them very well this year. And again, Philadelphia, Drew, and we'll talk about this in the next segment. Philadelphia, if it was anyone but Doc coaching them, I would give them a realistic shot. But I'm kind of stunned Doc has survived as long as he has in Philadelphia. And if they don't get by round two, I don't know how the Sixers can possibly bring him back. We have more NBA to get to with Drew. We'll look at awards, futures, and also one NFL note that can kind of change the way we look at a team that's well in the race for the Super Bowl next year. We'll discuss it next on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, if you're looking for a betting edge on the NHL, the NBA, or college hoops, the VSiN experts have you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of just $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season are all part of a pro subscription. So don't miss out on this limited time offer today. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of this introductory offer for just $9.99. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Happy to be with you. It's Kelly, we're almost at the midway point in the week, right? Almost there. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 8 a.m. hour is the halfway point for us.
I guess I never had anybody. What, you got to break it down by hour? So we got to get to like 1 o'clock today or something like that?
Apparently, I guess so.
That's the halfway point.
Why not? Why not? I'll be even more ridiculous than usual. Why not? That's good with me. I'm Jeff Parlson for Gil. Kelly Bidlin's here. Drew Dinsick is here with us right now. Finishing the point real quick that I was making of going after Doc Rivers again, which has been something I've done plenty in the past few years. Just looking at that Eastern Conference, where assuming Giannis comes back healthy at some point, which we know will happen by the time that the games really matter for Milwaukee, it really does feel like we're on the crash course, even though Cleveland has been, even though they have not did not play well going into the break, even though Cleveland has been really good this year, even though Philadelphia has championship aspirations, barring, again, a more significant injury to Giannis or one of the or Tatum or Brown or Middleton, this is a crash course for Boston and Milwaukee, correct?
You know, it does seem that way, but I'm going to take a little bit of a contrarian stance here on the standings in the 2 through 4 and say that we do not know that that is the way that they will break.
Okay.
I get it that the Bucks-Cavaliers gap is pretty big. You know, there's a lot of ground to make up with not a lot of games for the Cavs to take the Central from the Bucks. Similarly, not a lot of gap, you know, not a lot of time for the Sixers to flip the Bucks. Particularly the Sixers have a couple of games left against the Celtics, who we just learned they do not match up well against. But all that said, the Bucks, not only with the absence of Giannis and sort of the very murky timetable for his return, but even more than that, the final 3-4 weeks of their season has a number of pretty meaningful rest disadvantage spots that I think it's not crazy that the Bucks slide a little bit here. And, you know, it definitely changes. And maybe I'm reaching here just to come up with a more interesting playoff kind of fabric. But if you have a Bucks Celtics kind of lined up for the 1-4 instead of the, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals, that makes things a lot more interesting. Certainly the Bucks 41-17, like if you just reflect on that record and you look at sort of some of their advanced numbers, like, yeah, they've done well to get to this point. But they've had a pretty easy schedule. They've had a very, very, very soft go of it so far. They've been afforded a lot of matchups against teams that were, you know, either missing players or, you know, just in bad rest spots. And the bill comes due for them in the final 2 months of the season. So I do think there's a path here for the Bucks to get flipped by the Sixers, maybe even the Cavs. And if that happens, then, that really does change the calculus for the Eastern Conference. As you look at the current standings, I think the realistic expectation is even with all the talent that the Nets have, and particularly on the defensive side of the ball, the good job that Jacques Vaughn has done this year, I think the realistic expectation is the Nets slide into the 8-9 range, opening the door for the Knicks to get a clean spot in the playoffs and the Heat as well. It'll make for some interesting round one matchups, but to me at least, there's a pretty clear class at the top of the Eastern Conference with the top four teams there. I'd be pretty surprised if you saw meaningful upsets in the first round of the playoffs. I think people are a little shy on the Cavs as potential dark horse to make some noise in the Eastern Conference. I mean, 11-1 is a price that reflects a lot of inexperience, sure. But with the way that team is, the way the roster is composed, the way Bickerstaff is coaching that unit, I kind of like the Cavs in a competitive series against the likes of the Sixers. And if that's your 2-3 matchup, you could see the Cavs sneak into an Eastern Conference and maybe play, a battle-worn Celtics, battle-worn Bucks team that could open the door for them. So, it's not a huge edge by any stretch of the imagination. I took a little bit of Cavaliers to win the East. I took a little bit of Cavaliers to win the Central. And it's all kind of banking on the idea that Giannis may be gone for a little longer than we realize. He may not come back exactly as, able to operate offensively as we would expect. And at that point, with their schedule getting difficult in terms of rest disadvantage, then, they could drop some games down the home stretch here. And, maybe I'm reaching a little bit too much here to make something interesting out of a very boring conference because, my numbers say a pretty enormous proportion of the outcomes is Celtics go to the finals and don't overthink it. But, I'm definitely not a short-term buyer in the Bucks. I'm not really a long-term buyer in them either. I think I would take Celtics at a realistic. I would lay the price with the Celtics against the Bucks in a best-of-7 series. I mean, Giannis is truly a generational talent. When it's all said and done, he's going to be talked about among the top 10 all-time NBA pretty clearly. I still think in general the rest of the team around him is not strong enough to compete with the likes of the Celtics in a best-of-7 series.
If Giannis is healthy, I probably would be oppo on that type of series. But again, who knows? I mean, the wrist and the strong hand is an important body part in a basketball player, as we know, Drew.
I've heard that.
Yeah. So I mean, who knows? I mean, that's the old saying goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look. I mean, I don't want to be master of the obvious here, but I mean, if that thing lingers, that's a whole different handicap for any series involving Milwaukee, especially past the first round in the Eastern Conference. Drew, I want to go to the NFL real quick because we're heading towards a quarterback merry-go-round of sorts. But I want to go to the San Francisco 49ers because this was unexpected news that came down yesterday that Brock Purdy's surgery to repair his torn UCL is getting delayed because of swelling in the elbow. So, Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be back there. I think that is still very safe to say. PointsBet, by the way, put up odds on this, and Trey Lance is now a minus 300 favorite to be the starting quarterback week one. Purdy's plus 185. Oh, and that Brady guy who retired again is 60-1. I don't think that's happening. But, Drew, let's say Purdy is unable to throw until August here, and Trey Lance – look, he'll get a free run as a starter if that's the case. How does that change how you look at the 49ers as opposed to Lance and Purdy going head-to-head in a quarterback competition that would lead to at least Lance getting pushed in training camp potentially?
Yeah, that news was wild, and the Brock Purdy injury now sounds like you can basically write him off for 2023. Which is a bummer because if you had before the NFC championship game, if you had said, hey, what's going to happen here? I would have said Shanahan runs sort of a faux quarterback competition and Brock Purdy wins it. And he goes in as the week one starter because it seemed like the synergy between what he wanted the quarterback to do and what Purdy was able to do was so, so hand in glove that that was going to be the way that it was going to break. But I think you basically write Purdy off entirely now. Based on not just how serious the surgery is that he's being asked, that they're going to go in there and do. And, there's a lot of tongue in cheek, like, we're hopeful we don't have to do the full Tommy John. It could just be a brace. Okay. Well, that seems a little pie in the sky optimism to me. I think Purdy realistically is going to be on the shelf. Trey Lance is a completely unknown quantity. We don't need to really go into too much detail here. If you said, well, what's your realistic expectation for Trey Lance next year as a starter? I think he's probably going to get hurt at some point. He doesn't look like he has an NFL body to me. He couldn't hold up through two NFL games in his first crack as an NFL starter. So unless he puts on a ton of weight this offseason, and I don't know what that does in terms of changing his ability to operate as a quarterback, but he's got so much growing to do that it's a little unfair to the rest of this roster to go in with that as your plan A, really. This is all kind of going a long way to say that the Niners have painted themselves into a really, really terrible corner. They have the most talented, 2 through 53 of any team in the NFL, and they have no answer at the quarterback position and no roster flexibility to address that. For whatever reason, they can't keep quarterbacks healthy. So it's not even really like you can only go in with Trey Lance and no backup options. They have to come up with some answer at the backup position, and they can't pay a guy to be there. So it's going to have to be a reach. So not sure how that goes over in the locker room, but there's got to be a lot of frustrated vets who realize that they're on a championship football team with no quarterback.
Drew, I'll just throw this out there, and I'll let you think about it until next Wednesday when you're back with Gil. San Francisco 49er quarterback Mike White. There you go.
We're talking. Honestly, if you told me that they got it to the playoffs with someone that we would be, surprised with, I'd believe it.
Yeah, I mean, would make sense. Somewhat familiar with that system. He's Drew Dinsick, of course, on the tweets at @whale_capper. Drew, thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to stick in the NFL. Something fun on Derek Carr next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. That's BetMGM. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, you receive up to $25 back in bonus bets. So wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. So just log into your account today or download the app for the first time and sign up with BetMGM today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket of any NBA game, and if it misses, you'll get up to $25 back in bonus bets. Now again, BetMGM.com or the BetMGM app. This is a new and existing customer offer. You must be 21 or older to place a wager. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. This promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, and wait for it, Kelly, or Nevada.
No way.
Shocking there. Happy to be with you on a Wednesday morning. I'm Jeff Barles, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Will Hill's with us. By the way, Will Hill leading the Circa Invitational for College Hoops right
Watch
now.
Watch out.
Will Hill.
Don't mess with Will Hill.
We go. We'll talk.
He doesn't crash. He's not crashing anytime soon. Staying out of business.
I thought for some reason, as soon as you said crash, my head went to NASCAR. And I have no idea why my head went to NASCAR, because I think I've thought of NASCAR maybe even with the 500 this past weekend. I think I've maybe thought of NASCAR five times maybe in the last 18 months.
How about associate producer of this fine show, Wyatt Tomchek, getting an outright home?
Yeah, look at that. You know what good? I'm happy something good happened for Wyatt.
What's he deserves
something good.
Okay.
He's going to come in after the show and ask me, what the heck does that mean?
I don't know what it's supposed to mean either.
Take it whatever way you want. I'm just saying Wyatt's a good guy. That's all I'm saying.
Jeff, I know you want to talk about your Jets here. I want to bring up something real quick.
Please, go ahead.
That we talked about in the first segment, this college basketball trend.
Yes, okay? So go ahead.
Because I got an issue with some of these trends. I think there's a lot of people that overreact to some of these. And okay, so the trend you specifically were betting against.
I was opposite yesterday.
Yeah, opposite yesterday of Miami going into Virginia Tech. And do we even care if it's a conference opponent? Or is the trend that it's just a ranked team on the road?
It has happened. I think of this year, it only happened a handful of times in non-con, so
okay.
It's mostly conference.
Mostly conference. But a ranked team heading into an opposing team where that team is laying points, right? Laying points. And I know it's done very well. Just people need to keep in mind out there that these odds makers, they're not looking at rankings when they're setting lines or anything like
that. What makes
they
you say that,
they
Kelly?
They don't care about this at all. So I just think it's something that if you get don't get too wrapped up in this stuff, because if you do, it can lead you down a path that you convince yourself is a winning betting path, when it just really, some of this is a little bit random, okay? It's the fact that home teams win. Like, home teams win more than road teams win. That's a trend that you can actually rely on in almost every single sport. The fact that this happens with a specific set of a line, okay, I understand this might be hitting more often than not this year, but to me, it's more because the team's playing at home. And I just want everybody to know out there, most of these odds makers are not keeping what the AP rankings are or in
they
mind
don't care.
when they're setting lines.
Hey, Kelly, we have this conversation of football season all the time. That's why our guy Vinny Maliulo says that there should be a bookmaker or an odds maker on the committee.
Yeah. I agree.
There probably should be in the college football scenario. And then look, for this last night, Kelly, this was just a matchup bet. I thought Virginia Tech does not match up well with Miami.
No, totally.
And Miami's beaten them twice. It's going to be great in the ACC tournament, Kelly, when Miami is a slight favorite in Greensboro, Charlotte, or wherever the tournament is this year in the ACC. And someone comes on and says, hey, it's very difficult for a team to beat a team three times in one season. Which you know is coming if those two teams meet in the ACC tournament.
But think about what Jeff is saying right there. And I'm not a big college basketball guy. Jeff is, right? Jeff is talking about he's just breaking down the matchup. That's what you should be doing on a night-to-night basis. If it happens to fit a trend, great. If it happens to go against a trend, who cares? Jeff didn't care about that yesterday.
No, I didn't.
And he cashes a ticket. Well, it's just sometimes some of these trends are easy to grab onto. They're low-hanging fruit. They're easy to grab onto, and we run away with them, and we think those are automatic winners. It's just not something that's going to happen every single night.
And look, there was a winner on this trend yesterday, where Michigan State covered easily in the end against Indiana. And this trend has been awesome this year. It's hitting over 65%. You find any bet that's hitting over 65%, I understand why people have gravitated toward it. That's
totally.
It's an unrealistic number, but part of it is.
But you're 65. you're not blindly playing that situation.
I'm not doing it. I mean, look, again, Kelly, I don't want to call myself a contrarian because contrarian, there are a lot of meanings to that word at this point in this space.
Yeah.
I was against the herd with Kansas on Monday, where mm-hmm. It was a horrible situational spot for Kansas. They're going on the road on less than 48 hours rest after pummeling a really good team in the second half against a really good home team with their best player back. And you know what the trend on that one was? That I ended up making the bet? Bill Self has been swept in the Big 12 one time in Kansas. One time in his entire coaching career. 20 years at KU. Now, I like that trend more than the stat.
Sure, me too.
The horrible spot play, which I understood why people took TCU on Monday.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I get that.
That one made more sense to blindly following Virginia Tech last night.
I think with every if bettors, especially for novice bettors at home, if you're following some of these trends so closely, what's the counter argument to any one of them, right?
Yeah.
Even that one, which I'm with you, Jeff, I believe in that one more than the other one we talked about with Bill Self. But the counter argument to that is Bill Self has had better players than mostly every team in
100%.
The Big 12 over that entire span. So that has something to do with it. It's not just Bill Self out there coaching, playing, doing everything himself, right?
I'm just saying.
That's right. Bettors need to think about things that way.
100%. I mean, Kansas is Kansas. I mean, that's what it is.
Kansas is Kansas.
As simple as that.
Exactly.
I mean, look, it's not working right now for Duke. Duke is not normal Duke. UNC might go from number one to missing the tournament this year, but Kansas is Kansas. That's as simple as it gets.
I'm sorry. I distracted our Jets talk.
It's good because we'll use that whole thing we just did as the pro tip for the hour here. VSiN.com. Pro subscribers access to pro tips one an hour, so 20 a day on VSiN.com. And that means we can save the one we were planning on doing for the next hour.
Boom!
So there we go. All right, so Kelly, we love idiocy, right? We're a big fan of idiocy.
I'm a big fan of chaos.
This is idiocy, okay? Because Diana Rossini, who does a great job over at ESPN, and this leak that has come out of Florham Park is, even by Jets standards,
it's
insane.
It's amazing.
So Derek Carr's visit apparently went great on Monday with the Jets, and Rossini was reporting this, and on ESPN, on NFL Live on Tuesday, Rossini, talking about the visit that Carr had to Florham Park, New Jersey, where the Jets facility is. The Jets made it super personal for Carr. They said, "We believe if you come to New York and win, you could be a first ballot Hall of Famer." So, Kelly Bidlin.
So why hasn't he been signed already, Jeff?
There's a few things here that don't make sense with this. Number one, your point is exactly right. If you think the dude's a first ballot Hall of Famer, if he comes and plays for you,
then what are we waiting
why
for?
Why is he still on the market? I don't care that David Carr, his brother, said this is going to be a long, strung-out process, which, by the way, is insane also, since if Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers become available, Derek Carr is, at best, the third best quarterback available on the market. But for this to leak, this screams of a few things. First off, the Jets, this is a smokescreen, I think, number one for New York. And number two.
Wait, what do you mean? In what sense?
I think the Jets are just leaking whatever nonsense it is to make it seem like they're not interested in Rodgers anymore.
Okay.
Which I don't know how that helps them.
Yeah, I don't think that helps them.
Look, the Jets operate in idiotic ways. We know this.
I mean, unless it gets into a situation where the Packers are actively trying to trade Rodgers and seemingly they're not getting many great offers.
Correct.
In return,
they might have
right?
to take less from the Jets because, hey, we're going to sign Carr if you don't come down to our price.
Okay, then in that situation,
that
you could be right.
That would be the only thing. But also, too, like, look, Joe Namath's career numbers are not good. We know this. Guess what he did in New York? He won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl.
So, you know what? Maybe the Jets are onto something, Kelly. But the fact that that was a headline, I couldn't stop laughing when I saw it yesterday.
I wish I knew more details. Like, did he actually get a contract offer? Did he not? Because you might have just really pissed off Derek Carr, too, right? You can't say something about a guy and not offer him a contract.
Well, maybe. Who knows? Again, It's going to be a drawn-out process, according to his brother, which, again, makes no sense to me. But, hey, look, if Derek Carr wins the Super Bowl, they can give him a statue outside MetLife Stadium for all I care if he comes to the New York Jets. Speaking of New York, our guy Will Hill. We got college hoops and NBA and a season win total in baseball with Will Hill next.